Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, September 4th, 2023. This morning I will talk about the Footloose Spirit. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, beloved Son, Spirit of Truth, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you reach out to us in our sin and grant us ears that hear and eyes that see. Forgive us of our predilections, our prejudices, and unsavory thoughts, our evil actions and thankless hearts. We give thanks for your Holy Spirit, who comes to us where we are and heals our hearts, minds, and blooded hands. In the power of your Holy Spirit, grant us open hearts, discerning minds, and helping hands. Do not give us over to our wanton desires, to hands of grasping evil people. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Joel 2:28 we read, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." The importance of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is highlighted in the first sentence in the Greek, where the risen Christ is described as giving commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. This is Acts 1:2. The apostles will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, receive power, and become witnesses. On the day of Pentecost, with the founding of the church, the apostle Peter cites the prophet Joel, anticipating the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all flesh, including young men and women, old men, and even servants, through prophecy, dreams, and visions. Significantly, one of the charges that Stephen laid before the high priest and the Sanhedrin before he was stoned was that they had always resisted the Holy Spirit. From a strict first century Jewish perspective, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost displayed the footloose characteristic of the Spirit because it came outside the bounds of established religion. This perception of was nowhere more pronounced than in the person of Saul of Tarsus, who initially persecuted Christians in the name of God. In Acts 8:3 and 4 we read, "But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." Saul resisted the Holy Spirit, as Stephen had alleged, but could not help but be an agent of the Spirit's work, because the word continued to be preached and in new places. First century churches, such as that in Antioch and Rome, were founded presumably by this diaspora of ordinary believers scattered by persecution. A modern example of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit occurred among indigenous mountain people in Taiwan. During the occupation before and during World War II, the Japanese controlled the cities and coastal areas of Taiwan, but were unable to subjugate the mountain people who maintained their independence and practiced headhunting as a rite of passage into manhood. Christian missionaries were unable to evangelize these people, and missionaries were in general expelled from Taiwan during the Japanese occupation. In spite of almost perfect isolation, Ralph Covell writes about how an ordinary woman, Chi Wang, from the Setic people, came to faith in a coastal area in the 1930s and returned to the mountains on her own to spread a simple understanding of the gospel and initiated a revival among these people. Today, there is a church named for her that meets in a large cave where she used to hold meetings. Chi Wang, like many of the ascetic church leaders that followed, had little or no formal education. Chi Wang passed away in 1946. If the Holy Spirit could bring salvation to headhunters in Taiwan, who is beyond the love of God? The reach of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts knows few bounds. The miraculous conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the household of Cornelius, and the baptizing of the Macedonian jailer and his family all display the Holy Spirit's power and reach as confirmed by the Jerusalem Council. None of these events were as dramatic, however, as the conversion of Saul, persecutor of the church. The book of Acts reports Paul's conversion three times to advance the goal. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Because Paul's career as an evangelist took him to the ends of the earth, possibly Spain, but most assuredly Rome, Luke can write about the advance of the Great Commission to all nations using Paul's apostolic biography, thereby personalizing his message. His use of speech has likewise allowed him to address his readers in the first person singular. Talking about the agency of the Holy Spirit poses an interpretational problem, especially in our materialistic culture. For the Christian, it is easy to interpret actions and events displaying divine agency because the material world can illuminate a spiritual reality. Thus, when John the Baptist asked Jesus, "Are you the one to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus responds, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." This is Luke 7:22. John could easily hear this statement as referencing Isaiah 61, a claim of messianic commission. Others observing the same actions might interpret them as a magic trick, a neat story, or today, medical expertise, depending on their worldview. This is why it's important to have ears that hear and eyes that see. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.